This morning, our text is from Philippians chapter 1, if you'd like to turn to it. Right, Philippians chapter 1, and we're reading verses 3 to 6. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. A large part of the New Testament consists of the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to the early church. Although each letter was directed to a specific church and addressed issues in that church, it's clear that Paul intended the letters would also be circulated among all the other churches. And because each letter dealt with the issues that were specific to a particular church, they varied in style and in content. When we look at the letter to the Philippian church, we find that it has one overriding theme, which is Paul's delight at the church and the joy that he feels when he thinks of them and the joy that they should be showing. Martin Lloyd-Jones described the Philippian church as those living the life of joy. In fact, he entitled his commentary on Philippians, A Life of Joy and Peace. And our text this morning reflects that joy that Paul finds in the Philippian church. And as I consider our church here in Goldthorpe, I echo Paul's comments in this verse. For I too am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And I can say this because I know the work that's going on among and in the members of this church. I know what sort of work is going on, and I know that it's a work that nothing and no one can stop. I also know that this work is going on in every member of this body of Christ. My confidence is in the work of God that is going on here in this church. I believe that this verse, which is our text this morning, is a vital foundation on which God can build his church here in Goldthorpe. Because if this verse is not true about us here in this church, then all of our plans, all of our schemes, all of our desires will come to nothing. But I know that this verse can be applied to us just as surely as it was applied by Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi. So let's look at what Paul tells us about this good work. The first thing that Paul examines is, who is the author of this work? He says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So who is he? Who is the one who has begun this work in the members of this church in Goldthorpe? Well, of course, the answer is that it's God himself. This work that's being done here is not the result of any input that any person has ever had here. It's not the result of something that anyone here has done. It's not the result of anything that the church has done. It's all God's work. All God's work, and it's his alone. Of course, God uses men and women to achieve his purpose. And of course, God uses the church to further his work. But the work, the result, is God's work. This church here didn't come about because some people had a good idea 60 years or so ago and decide to start a church. It's not as if like-minded people decided to form a church like others decide to form a club or a society. There would never have been a church here at all if God hadn't begun to act. He who began a good work in you. It's all of God. And this work that began here over 60 years ago was when God began a good work in Goldthorpe. It was God who gathered together those founders of this church. It was God who filled them with his Holy Spirit and gave them the deep desire to start a Pentecostal church in Goldthorpe. But why? Why was the Pentecostal church established here? Because here is where God wanted it. He began the work in Goldthorpe. But not only did God start the work here, he'll take it through from start to finish. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. He'll go on until the work is completed and perfected, until the final consummation. God doesn't just start a work and then leave it. He continues with it. He leads us on, directing and manipulating our circumstances, restraining us sometimes, urging us on at other times. And that is God's whole plan for his church and for this church. Church is the place where God works in the heart of souls of men and women. It wasn't man's idea or man's theory. It's nothing that man can do. It was God from the beginning to the end. Before this church was ever conceived in the hearts of men, even before the foundation of the world, before time began, God had planted this church here. He had decided the who, the where, the what, and the why. And it's essential that we grasp and understand this. Otherwise, we'll be building on a false and shaky foundation. The glory must be his alone. But then we turn to the nature of the work. The key to understanding that is, in the simple little word, in. He who began a good work, not among you, but in you. And that's vital, and it's central to understanding what God is doing. What Paul is talking about here is what the New Testament calls rebirth, or regeneration, or being born again. What happens when someone becomes a Christian is not just a surface improvement. The gospel doesn't just take a person and make them a little bit better. The work of the gospel is upon the soul, the vital being of a person's life and existence. Henry Scargill, the 17th century preacher, defined it as the life of God in the soul of man. It's the most profound and vital change that God does in a person. As Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. We become aware that there's a new nature, a new being within us, and this has a profound effect upon us. We find that we don't like the things that we used to like. Those things which seem so attractive and important now seem to be so flimsy and unimportant. We start to do and to like things we would never considered before. We begin to actually like the Bible. We begin to pray and attend prayer meetings. We actually enjoy church. And we develop a passion for the things of God. It's the Holy Spirit who's doing all this. He's creating us anew. He's making us more like Christ. That's a good work that God has begun in us. But then he goes on to perfect the new man through his word, through other people, through circumstances. He's fashioning us by smoothing over the rough edges, by chiselling off this corner and that. I heard of a little-known sculptor who was given a rough block of stone that no one else wanted, and he worked on it until he produced a magnificent sculpture of a horse. When asked how he'd managed such a masterpiece out of a piece of rejected stone, he replied, "I just chiselled off everything that didn't look like a horse." And that's what God is doing with me and with you. He's chiseling off everything that doesn't look like Christ. It's a slow process. Sometimes it's painful. But he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. So then we come to the purpose of the work. We've seen it's God's work and it's a good work. So what is the purpose of the work? Paul's answer in our text is, being confident of him that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's the objective. That's the purpose. We are being fashioned and prepared for the day of Christ Jesus. Notice that Paul doesn't say that we're being prepared for the day of our death. No, we're being prepared for that great and glorious day of Jesus Christ. Well, what then is this day? It's the day when the work of salvation is finally completed. The moment that Adam sinned and fell, God began the great process. Remember the promise given by God to the serpent in Genesis 3, verse 15. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." And that's where the plan began. God went on to single out Abraham and make a nation of him. Throughout the whole Bible, we see the work continuing and unfolding. But to what end is this work leading? It's leading to the end that this world, which is cursed by the sin of man, will be restored and made perfect. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and the Son of God will return to reign as King. This is the day of the Lord, the day of ultimate redemption, the day when the plan of salvation will be complete. So it's essential that we all know that this work, this great and mighty work, has begun in us. But are we sure that God has begun a good work in me personally? Do I know that He's going on with that work and I'm going to be made perfect on that day of Jesus Christ? Well, the test is quite simple. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour? Do you enjoy the company of Christians more than those of the world? Are you more interested in the things of God and the work of God than the dubious attractions of the world? Do you defend the gospel when you hear someone attack it? Do you hate it when someone blasphemes and uses the name of the Lord as a swear word? If that is so, then you can be sure that the good work has started in you. And you can be sure that what God has started, He will finish. And that's why I can join with Paul and say, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul addressed them personally as individuals, but he also addressed the whole church as an entity. As I said earlier, the whole flavour of this letter is a flavour of joy. Paul wrote this letter from prison. He was chained between two guards 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He was denied any privacy, any freedom of movement. The situation wasn't pleasant in any way. It was totally understandable if he was depressed and downhearted. But he isn't. He's not at all. He's full of joy because of the situation that's enabled him to witness about Christ to the guards who really were a captive audience. But another source of his joy was the church in Philippi. All the reports he had of this church were so positive that he continually rejoiced when he thought of them. The work of God in that church was producing great and glorious fruit. As I've also applied this wonderful verse in a personal way to each of us, I want to apply it to the church here in Goldthorpe. Over the last few years, we've seen many prophecies from God of what He's going to do, the wonderful and marvellous things He'll do in our church here and in this town and in this valley. And quite naturally, we get a little impatient and we're wondering when God's going to start to fulfill these promises. I'm constantly praying, and I know a lot of you are too, that God will start to bring about some of the things He's promised. Some of those promises go back over 20 years or more, and we're longing to see God fulfill His word to us. But I have got good news for you. God has already started. Yes. Our very presence in this building is an extraordinary work of God. The way we acquired this building was a tremendous work of God. He provided the finances, he overcame any opposition, he ensured that we would obtain the building. And not only that, he continues to provide for us in marvellous ways. Sometimes, in the familiarity of our services, we fail to appreciate what God is doing and what he's already done. I know I've been like that. I've failed to see what God is doing. But God is working in us and in this church. But I long to see God ministering in our church in a more powerful way than any of us have ever known. I long to see people being ministered to by the Holy Spirit. I long for it no longer to be the same elders who pray for people, because others are also praying for them. I long for people to be getting words from the Lord, even people who don't usually give them. I long for a new confidence in the whole congregation. And none of this will have anything to do with the elders. It will purely and wholly be the work of God. But I'm convinced that he's beginning to do what he has long promised. The scriptures tell us in Zechariah 4 verse 10, "Do not despise the day of small things." God is moving, slowly but surely, and I'm certain that we're seeing the beginning of what he wants to do here. Open your eyes and see what the Lord is doing. Yes. Here in Goldthorpe, Thurnscombe and Bolton, the churches are working together in the Churches Together initiative. This is brilliant, and it's doing so much to further the work of God in the area. I continually praise God for what he's doing, and I praise God for what he knows, that we are all different and uses those differences for his purposes. Just as the churches that Paul ministered to were different, and as such he wrote to them in different ways, so the churches in the Dearne Valley are different, and God ministers to each as he sees fit. All of us who are praying for God to start to work here in Goldthorpe need to be aware of what he's doing. Maybe our prayer should be more of us thanking him for what he's doing and asking for more. More of our God in our lives and our church. So now perhaps you can see why I made a very bold statement when I started this morning, when I said, our text this morning reflects that joy that Paul finds in the Philippian church. And as I consider our church here in Goldthorpe, I echo his comment, "For I truly too am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." I look at this church and it does my heart good. I see a people who radiate the love of God. I see a people who are so open to God. I see the presence of God in every one of you. I know that as a Christian I'm not supposed to be proud, but I am proud to be part of this great body of Christ. As Paul said in verses 4 and 5, "In all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, even in Goldthorpe." Amen.